Today's broadcast is brought to you by ClassicBaseballBroadcasts.com, your one-stop destination for thousands of authentic, vintage radio game broadcasts, interviews and highlights, Red Barber, Mel Allen, Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell, Kurt Godey, are just a few of the Ford Frick Award-winning voices. There are hundreds more that will bring back childhood memories from back in the day when the game was always on. From the crack of the bat, to the roar of the crowd, relive the moments that made Baseball America's favorite pastime. Get started for free and step back in time listening to baseball's greatest moments.
Step up to the plate and relive the golden age of baseball. We are so excited to introduce Classic Baseball Broadcast, your future destination to relive in original broadcast format the most iconic games, legendary calls, and timeless moments from baseball history. Whether you're a diehard fan or just discovering the roots of the game, everything you need, because we have a treasure chest of baseball's greatest stories told by the folks who were there. Go ahead and visit ClassicBaseballBroadcast.com today. Sign up for free, and let's keep the spirit of America's pastime alive one inning at a time. Hey folks, Tom Hannon here from Classic Baseball Broadcast. Today we're going to go back to Billy Ball, the three-year span that Billy Martin managed the Oakland A's. Here we go. February 20th, 1980, the Oakland A's signed Billy Martin as the new manager. It was after the 79 season that Billy Martin found himself jobless following a fight with a marshmallow salesman. Can't make this stuff up. Then the ever maverick Oakland A's owner, Charlie Finley, stepped up to the plate to offer Martin a two-year deal. Now, the A's were coming off a horrific season, a 54-win season where the home attendance was about 4,000 a game. Now, I looked at the 1979 records, and I seen games as low as 653 people. You think about that, 653. I've been to Fenway that felt like there were beer lines longer than that. Through the whole entire 1979 season, they only had five games above 10,000 people. So Finley felt like he had to do something. So he brings in who else but Billy Martin. So here's a press conference with Finley introducing Billy Martin, and then Billy Martin during the presser.
Is that where we're going to go? We don't know. But I know one thing, Billy Martin and Charlie Finley will give it hell to go as far as we can.
The volatile Billy Martin is back in Oakland where he grew up. The A's are his fifth team, and one that should give Billy the Kid quite a challenge in the 80s.
Mental state of Billy Martin?
I didn't challenge the marshmallow man, he challenged me.
I mean, let's put the things in the proper places where they should be. I left the team in Minnesota because of the disagreement with the traveling secretary, not with the owner. I left the team in Detroit after a winter, not because of reason for Billy Martin having problems. I left the team in Texas because they changed owners. I left the team in New York because the owner didn't want me to be there anymore. So you have to ask the people who fired me why they fired me, not because I have any disorders whatsoever.
Now, once Finley brought Martin in, he just basically let him run wild. He ran the whole entire operation. And the truth is, it worked for a couple of years. The 1980 A's improved by 29 games. They went 83-79. Martin got rewards as the manager of the year and a rookie named Ricky Henderson. So here's a blurb about the 1980 Oakland A's.
This happened in my home area, and made me a lot happier to see the fans come back out here again. That's my biggest joy, seeing that the fans are participating now and enjoying themselves at the ball game. They're coming out here, and they're seeing baseball is exciting, and baseball is fun, and winning is fun.
The A's had undergone a transformation, leading the charge a budding young star named Ricky Henderson. Who says you can't steal first? Henderson did by hook or crook. Also stole second, third, and home. And in the field, stole a fair share of extra base hits. The team generated constant excitement because no one could safely predict what would happen next.
In the American League West. Hugh Gaunt and Mario Guerrero at bat. Wayne Gross, the runner at third, and he's leading a long way down the third baseline. He might be thinking about stealing home here. Here comes Gross on his way home. He's safe at the plate. A great move. Wayne Gross has stolen home. Incredible. Gross has scored, and the Tigers are still in shock. This crowd is going crazy, and I don't even think Wayne Gross can believe what happened. What a ball game. The bases are loaded, and Tony Armas, the A's leading RBI man at the plate. You wouldn't think that the A's would be thinking steal again in this spot with Armas up here. But Murphy has a long lead down the third baseline. And here he comes. He's heading for the plate. The pitch gets away. He's safe at the plate. And now Mitchell Page is trying to score two. The throw, it's in time, and Page is tagged out at the plate. Unbelievable what the A's have done here today. Two steals in the same game. It's incredible.
Incredible indeed.
Now, heading into 1981, Martin became so popular, he was actually doing team commercials. So here's a listen to one of those commercials.
Different brand of baseball.
A reserve seat, please.
Right.
Oh.
And I suppose you came out here just to sit in your hands.
No.
Okay. Armas is up 3-1. Let's hear it.
Hey, go, Tony.
Come on, talk it up.
Out of the way, Tony.
Let's hear some chatter.
Wait, I'll watch him, Tony.
Come on, come on.
This guy's got nothing, Tony. Make him pitch to you. That's not
okay.
Mine. That's a noodle. That's
okay,
a...
We'll give you a tryout.
Now, in 81, the A's stormed out of the gates. They went 20-3 to start. His rotation of Mike Norris, Rick Langford, Matt Keough, and Steve McCaddy and Brian Kigman, they were the talk of baseball. Their success actually landed them on the covers of Time and Sports Illustrated. Now, in 1981, we had that strike that really gutted the middle of the season. And it took a little bit of a bite out of the A's in the second half, but they won the first half. So they made the playoffs for the first time since 75, and they beat the Royals in the ALDS, which was the first ALDS before it became a real thing once they instituted the wild card. But then they fell to the Yankees in the ALCS. They fell to them 3-0. But George Steinbrenner, who had fired Martin in 79, started to rethink his position. He started thinking about that, and the fans actually gave Billy Martin in the American League Championship Series a huge ovation. So here's that ovation.
Billy Martin. His coach, number 41, Fleet Boyer. In the bullpen,
To the Campanaris-Legros incident and the Chambliss home run, we can now add another special moment.
So then in December of 81, Martin was feeling confident about 82, but he was not happy about the miniseries that the A's had to play. He felt like it shouldn't have been. But he discusses that here in this interview and the upcoming 1982 season.
I think you got to handle just like you handle life. Use a lot of common sense. Talk to him, be honest with him, let him know that it happened to us now, but now next year is our turn to turn it around and do it. They went through a mini-series and another playoff, which should have never happened in baseball, but it did. And a player can just get up so many times. Mm-hmm. They're not robots. They're human beings. They have feelings. They have their ups and their downs just like everybody else. And I think baseball demanded too much of the players this year in all the playoffs.
You do?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think it could have been handled differently?
I do, but I'm not in that department.
Mm-hmm. You're a competitive ball club, and you must be extremely proud of the way they came through for you.
I'm proud of my club and the organization, and I'm proud of baseball also. Well, we're talking a lot of ball clubs about a second baseman. We're talking a lot of ball clubs about a left-handed relief pitcher, and we're just talking in general, and our ears are open, and we're talking. We're in no rush to do anything, mm-hmm. but if they want to sit down and really talk, we're glad to do it.
He walks out the first base, cool and slow. Everybody in the park knows he's gonna go. Billy Ball, A's baseball. Billy Ball, A's baseball. He's gonna get home, just you wait and see.
Why is everybody trying to pick off me? Hello, everybody. This is Wayne Hagen, voice of the Oakland A's. As you know, 1981 was a memorable year for the A's. Come join me now and take a short trip through time back to April of 1981. The anonymous A's began the season on the road with an 8-game road trip and winning streak. The pitchers were unbeatable, recording 6 complete games and 2 shutouts. The hitters, led by 2-time American League Player of the Week Tony Armas, smacked balls into the corners and gaps and over the walls of ballparks in both Minnesota and Anaheim. The club, returning to Oakland following 8 straight victories, played their gala home opener on April 17th in front of more than 46,000 delirious fans. The increasingly familiar song, Celebration, was heard following 5 A's home runs as the A's demolished the Mariners 16-1 to extend their winning streak to 9.
Bouncing ball to the right side, clubbed at first by Newman, a trot to the bag, and he's out to retire the side and end the ball game. 3 up and 3 down in the ninth. The A's stream out of the dugout. Nothing across for the Seattle Mariners, the final score. The A's 16 and the Mariners 1.
2 days later, the A's accomplished what no team had ever done, winning 11 straight games at the beginning of the season. A jubilant Hat Day crowd saw the home team come through in a big way, defeating Seattle 6-1 and creating Major League Baseball history. Perhaps the most dramatic series of the regular season occurred when the Yankees came to town in early May. This confrontation attracted local and national media attention as the rivalry between Billy Martin and his former Chargers created electricity throughout the Bay Area. The A's beat the Yankees on Friday night 8-6, and Saturday broke sunny and clear as Ron Guidry, the Yankee ace, was set to face the suddenly power-laden A's. Cliff Johnson, Rob Picciolo, Ricky Henderson, and Tony Armas battered Louisiana Lightning and the Yankees bullpen with 4 home runs.
Swinging a deep drive to left. That ball is hit way back, way back, way back. Tell it goodbye.
Guidry's pitch. Swung on, hit to deep left. That ball is well back, way back. Tell it goodbye. Henderson hits a high drive to deep left field. Way back, way back. Tell it goodbye.
That's it. It's the pitch.
Line drive hit the deep left field, and that one is gone. Home run.
Throughout the season, Billy instructed his players in the art of Billy Ball, doing the unexpected and the exciting. For example, the double steal.
The throw to third, not in time. Double steal for the A's. Heath stealing third. McKay's stealing second.
Executing the squeeze play.
Here's the pitch.
Squeeze play on. Bunted down the third baseline. It's a beauty. In with a run.
The rare triple play.
There go the runners again. Baylor swings, lines one. Picciolo stabs it at short, races for second, throws to first. Triple play! Holy Toledo! He got them all!
And even the hidden ball trick.
A second error for the A's.
Doyle has just pulled a hidden ball trick at second base, and Adams has been nailed.
I glanced down at my scorebook, and Doyle with the ball goes over and tags Adams off second. The first time I've seen that hidden ball trick in about 15 years, I would say.
Little variation on Billy Ball.
Defense on the club became a matter of pride. The A's hurlers knew that a ball hit anywhere in the park was retrievable by his supporting cast.
Fastball hit to deep left field. Going back is Henderson. He's to the fence. He leaps. And he makes a brilliant catch. A magnificent catch by Ricky Henderson. Leaping up against the left field fence. Falls to the warning track for the out. A brilliant play by Ricky Henderson.
They're trying to get the veteran Lee May here. Powerful right-hand batter waiting. And the stretch, the pitch. Fastball hit to deep center. Going back is Murphy to the fence. He leaps. He makes the catch. Murphy leaps up on the fence in center field and makes the one-handed catch. As May drilled it to deep center, and Murphy leaped up above the padding on the center field fence to make a one-handed catch.
In fact, sometimes balls that appeared to leave the park never did.
The 1-0 pitch swung on. Fly ball, center field deep. Going back is Murphy. Still going. This has got a chance. Murphy to the fence. He leaps. He can't get it. It's gone. Has he got it or not? He's got it. He got it. He caught it.
Following the 6-week strike, the A's reopened the 1982 home season as celebration was rekindled at the Coliseum. The layoff had little effect on the club, and Ricky Henderson in particular started the second season with a big bang.
Renko's delivery to him. Swung on, hit to deep left. That ball is way back.
way back, tell it goodbye.
The A's had clinched a place in the playoffs as a result of their first-place, first-half finish. The dog days of the summer and the beginning of fall saw the club battling the Royals for the second-season championship. Despite winning 2 of 3 in Kansas City to close the regular season, the Royals were the A's opponents in the best-of-5 Western Division championship. The first game was a relative breeze as Mike Norris completely controlled George Brett and the hard-hitting Royals en route to a 4-hit shutout. The Cat, Steve McCaddy, was involved in a nail-biter the next day, but prevailed 2-1 as Tony Armas paced the A's with 4 hits and both runs batted in. The scene for the third game switched to Oakland, where, under a beautiful harvest moon, more than 40,000 fans, led by Crazy George, witnessed the A's conquest of the Western Division for the first time since 1975. A's reliever Dave Beard put the finishing touches on the Royals.
Now the Royals are down to their last strike. The A's bench jumping up with every pitch. The fans on their feet, cheering with every pitch from Beard. A count of 2-2. Beard has retired the 3 men he's faced. He's trying to get the 4th. The 2-2 pitch. Fastball, struck him out, swing. Beard has struck him out to end the ballgame. And the A's dugout erupts. They're going to kill Beard if he isn't careful.
East met West for the American League Championship, and the pattern for the series was set early when the Yankees struck for a big inning in the opener. The Pinstripers took both games in the Big Apple, and the third game returned to Oakland. Behind 1-0 and overmatched by the relief duo of Ron Davis and Goose Gossage, the A's crowd of 47,000 nevertheless celebrated their heroes' efforts, Crazy George, and themselves as the 1981 season came to a conclusion.
Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on, blooped into short center. Going back as Randolph says he'll get it. He does. He makes the catch. Randolph with a great running catch to Rob Gross. And the Yankees, in the midst of a celebration, as no runs on a hit, no errors, and a runner left on, the Yankees win it in 3.
All in all, 1981 was a very successful year on the field and in the stands when A's fans set a new all-time Oakland attendance record for the franchise, more than 1,300,000 people having experienced Billy Ball. The challenge for the A's, however, lies in the future, the ability to perform with excellence on the field year after year, to build a farm system that develops and produces talent, to present an entertaining product that keeps the turnstiles clicking, and to continue the community involvement necessary for a socially responsive organization. It is the intention of the Oakland A's to perform today while building for the future. With 1981 behind us, I hope to see you at the Coliseum for another season of Billy Ball. This is Wayne Hagen speaking. So long, everybody.
Pulling double steals, playing hit and run. Decoy in the catcher is clinky, but it's fun. Billy Ball, A's baseball. Billy Ball.
You blew that call.
Get back in the dugout.
He's gonna get in trouble. Just you wait and see.
You're out of here.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
So when 1982 came around, the A's unfortunately fell back to their ways pre-Billy Martin. They won only 68 games. Martin's relied so heavily on that young starting pitcher in the previous year that it led to accusations that he had actually overworked them. He shortened their careers. You know, by mid-season, the Oakland A's had plummeted in the standings. Martin's behavior became extremely erratic. He was drinking excessively, traveling with mistress, trashed his own office in frustration. In October 20th, 1982, the A's had new ownership, and they felt like they had to make a change, so they fired Billy Martin, despite the fact that he had already gotten a contract extension. He had still 3 years left on it. Many speculated that Martin deliberately sabotaged his tenure to return to the Yankees. Steinbrenner had hinted that he would rehire him if he became available, which he actually did. So I'm going to bring you the press conference now of Billy Martin when he got rehired by the Yankees.
I have every reason to believe that we will have a great relationship and that we're going to go back to a winning basic formula and bring back a championship to New York. And you've got to go with a winner in order to get a winner. And as you look at the records of the various managers, there are only 2 or 3 managers in baseball today active who have winning records from the time they started managing. And Alfred Martin is one of those fellas.
We've had a lot of long talks with George. A lot of you guys are going to wonder how we're going to get along. Like, I'm sure you're going to ask me that question later on. Well, we've straightened a lot of things out. For instance, I'll be handling all the trades.
What do you mean?
There'll be no phone calls in the dugout.
What do you mean? That is not... No, that's not right. I'm handling the trades.
That isn't the way we say it,
I have the
George.
Right to call you in the dugout.
And that's not the way it's going to be, George.
Well, you're damn right it isn't. If you don't like it, you're fired.
You haven't hired me yet.
So just to wrap it up here, the legacy that Billy Ball left behind, it was an incredible time in Oakland. And here we are, some 45 years later, and we're still talking about it. You know, he rejuvenated a struggling franchise that was struggling for attendance. He developed some great young talent. And despite the way that he departed, he left a legacy behind. I wanted just to note just a few of the players that he drafted when he was in charge of personnel, because when he was in Oakland, he was technically really in charge of everything. So he had Mickey Tettleton, Mike Galliego. He had drafted Al Davis, even though he didn't end up playing for the A's. And then, of course, the biggest name was Jose Canseco. So his time with the A's was a roller coaster, but yet it was marked with brilliance, controversy, and the ever-present shadow of his own personal demons. I hope you enjoyed the show. And just remember, you can jump over to Classic Baseball Broadcast. You can catch games that Billy Martin played in, because he played in some tremendous World Series games for the Yankees. And you can also catch games that he managed in the 60s, 70s, and 80s over at ClassicBaseballBroadcast.com. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that, and I'm glad you stuck around to the end. And I just wanted to credit those audio sources. That all the credits are in the show notes, as well as a link to all the audio libraries. As a quick reminder, the best way to stay connected with us is just to sign up for the daily newsletter. The daily newsletter has trivia, quotes, link to today's podcast, history, and much, much more. Everything is in the show notes. Just click away and enjoy. And I hope to see you at a ballpark real soon.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by ClassicBaseballBroadcasts.com, your one-stop destination for thousands of authentic, vintage radio game broadcasts, interviews and highlights, Red Barber, Mel Allen, Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell, Kurt Godey. Are just a few of the Ford Frick award-winning voices, there are hundreds more that will bring back childhood memories from back in the day when the game was always on. From the crack of the bat to the roar of the crowd, relive the moments that made baseball America's favorite pastime. Get started for free and step back in time listening to baseball's greatest moments.